Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, yeah. While you're thinking of WBEN, make sure you go to WBEN.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Spirit of the Dance, the world's greatest Irish dance show on June 9th at the Falls View Casino Resort in Niagara Falls, Canada. Enter now through tomorrow, May 24th at WBEN.com. David Bellavia, as always, good to see you. And you had an active morning. It looks like you had an active morning.
Yeah, you know, always active. But there's a lot. We're going to have Brendan Keeney live at 5 p.m. get an update on this Erie County Sheriff's deputy that is going to be arraigned. We're following that story pretty closely. And, we've been talking about this. This is probably the fifth time we've covered this story on the program.
This is, from the Bills game where the police officer before the game got into a brouhaha with a UB student.
Kenneth Actel is the Erie County Sheriff's Deputy. He faces four charges. Those charges range from essentially assault, one count of official misconduct, falsifying business records, two counts of assault, four counts altogether, misdemeanor charges. But I don't know. I mean, the way I look at this, first of all, no one should be falsifying anything. You should never lie. And
right, that's serious
stuff,
to me.
That is very serious. You don't want law enforcement doing that. But I do find it that somehow this kid is, you know, all we hear about from Mark Poloncarz is we don't say Bills Mafia. We don't glorify that behavior. The Bills don't want to glorify the drunkenness at the Bills games because they're making rules to make people less likely to throw themselves through burning tables. The no fun police are out all the time. Poloncarz compared the hooligans at Bills games to what happened at the Walden Galleria Mall when there was a fight club or running of the Bulls, whatever you want to.
Because a sign fell down.
Yeah, whatever the amalgam of that crazy episode was in Cheektowaga. But look, I mean, you don't want cops to pull out handguns. You don't want cops to pull out batons and start whacking people. We don't want to see people being tased. But I think we could all, you know, we have the ability to call it as we see it here. And although nobody should be falsifying anything and no one should be lying about the situation, can we at least acknowledge that you probably shouldn't be drunk and act like a jackass in front of a cop either? There was a time that if you were intoxicated and were obnoxious, you were probably going to end up with a bloody nose and on the ground with handcuffs on. That was just the way the life was. You showed respect to authority.
You couldn't pay me enough money right now in 2019 to be a police officer because everybody's got their cell phone trained on you, and just one little misstep, one little human error, and bingo, you find yourself in a world of hurt. Obviously, the kid should not have mouthed off. I mean, the question I have in my mind is, did the officer do everything in his power to de-escalate the situation? And that's going to be something that bigger money people than I am going to have to decide.
Yeah, you're right. But again, I don't believe this is one of those situations where it's choice A or choice B. I mean, you can still hold police officers to account. You can still request that your public servants are honorable and aren't, you know, misleading folks and filing false statements. At the same time, I have no problems with a cop, you know, slapping a dude around rather than, I don't know, shooting him.
Or tasing, which is no day at the beach.
So, I mean, if you are going to act, there is nothing that states that if you act obnoxiously and are intoxicated and you're not following lawful orders, that a cop just is like, well, this is out of my jurisdiction. The only thing I can do is shoot you or tase you. That's it.
Right. I mean, all you can really do is try to de-escalate the situation. And if somebody is terrifically out of control, you can try to handcuff them and detain them. And, of course, detaining somebody does not mean they're under arrest. It simply means they are momentarily detained.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what else. What are the choices supposed to be at this point? I mean, this is the video that we're watching is, you know, from the actual body cam of the police officer. But I'm sure if anything, by the time that escalated, everyone, like you said, has their cameras out, they're videotaping everything. So my takeaway is that I find that it's absurd that we have to live in a world that it's the cop either shoots a person or the cop lets you go. We can't give chase, you know, well, he's speeding and he's going through a neighborhood. Well, then, you know, don't pursue him. What the hell is that? Don't pursue him.
Well, which does happen. Sometimes, as you know, sometimes the supervisor will get on the radio if it is a minor vehicle and traffic stop that somehow escalates into a chase and the neighborhood is kind of a densely packed neighborhood or a residential neighborhood. You know, a lot of times the captain or lieutenant will get on the radio and say, just cease and desist. You know, there's just no point in pursuing this. I mean, it happens. In fact, you can actually see this a lot on that show that I'm enamored of, Live PD on, what is it, A&E.
Right.
There's a lot of times they'll be chasing somebody and the supervisor will get on the radio and say, yeah, call this one off. Especially if they've got the tag on the person anyway, because they can just go back and make the arrest at a later date.
But again, though, I don't understand why we're forced to be in that position. You could still enforce the law. You still have to trust law enforcement. But you know, when you look at this, this isn't the time where you take a cop and say, this is a bad cop. This guy is indicative of all that's bad in law enforcement. And look at this innocent kid. This kid is a punk.
Not innocent, yeah.
This kid was acting like an obnoxious, drunken punk. Now, that doesn't give the cop the authority to bash him because he's obnoxious or that he's drunk. But if you're giving lawful orders and you have a guy who's obnoxious, who's mouthing off and instigating others to do the same, you have to make that guy comply. And if he's not going to comply, you know, by putting his hands where they're supposed to be and putting him in handcuffs, maybe you have to, you know, use some sort of physical force. Should that be restrained? Of course it should. But in a world where it's, you're telling a cop, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I don't know how that's any winning. That doesn't make us more safe.
You know, every time we've talked about this, I think I've said I would like to see more camera angles on this to form a more educated opinion, because as far as I know, in the media, you might have as well, but I think I was the only person who defended Buffalo police officer Corey Krug, who was caught on tape, and some people thought, well, he was using way too much physical force, and I completely and totally disagreed with their assessment. The way I viewed that tape of Corey Krug, and this goes back to Thanksgiving Eve many years ago, the way I viewed that tape is he was doing exactly what he was trained to do, and I did not see any excess of force in that particular situation. I didn't see it then, and I don't see it now. But I'd like to see more camera angles of the Bill situation involving this Erie County Sheriff's deputy, who is going to be in court later on today at 5 o'clock, and our Brendan Keeney is going to be covering it for us.
Yeah, and we'll find out, you know, more information. I think it's just an arraignment hearing today, right?
So, yeah, I mean, what do you want? But of all the charges, this is going to sound really stupid, David, but of all the charges that Actel faces, the one that concerns me the most is the falsifying of records, because that goes to the public trust and that goes to the credibility of police officers. Everything else is almost a judgment call to me at this point, but the falsifying records, exactly what did he falsify? Can we prove that he actually falsified them? And if he did, why did he falsify the records?
Right. And, you know, again, there's no, we can't, we're not just going to reflexively defend any side just because, you know, again, on its surface, if this had nothing to do with the falsifying or the lying or the making up of a story, which is what it appears these allegations are, you know, what I'm disturbed about, the argument here is, you know, does a cop have a right to pull out a stick and take a non-compliant force and make him comply? And I think the answer should be, of course, that makes us all safe. What choices do you have if you can't use a nightstick, you can't use a flashlight, you can't put your hands on someone? You're only going to be able to use a firearm or a taser. And I don't think anyone wants someone being pistol whipped or...
No.
That's not a healthy law enforcement environment. That's not a good culture to think, hey, these folks have our back and they're taking care of us.
But, you know, the bottom line question here, guys, I think, is what exactly do you want out of your police? And, you know, would you, for $1 million a year, would you even want that job in 2019? I don't even think for $1 million a year I would want the job in 2019. No, thank you. I'll let somebody else handle it. Utterly thankless. And... here's the thing. Our back and forth with public opinion on police officers is really, it's almost schizophrenic, because when things get out of hand, it's like, well, how come the police officers didn't use more force to keep it from getting out of hand? But right. If the police officers use the force to get it from getting out of hand, then suddenly they automatically become the bad guys. And as you said, look, I mean, I'll add something onto that. We tend to be on this program very pro-police, very law enforcement, very pro-first responders on this show. But that does not mean that we throw a wet blanket over anything that might be rotten or seem rotten. And that's why I said I'm concerned about the falsifying of records more than I am what was captured on the tape, pending, of course, further review from different camera angles if they exist.
If this kid is black, does it take this long?
If the kid is black, does it take this long? It's tough for me to say. I don't know. It's that to me that's a hypothetical that I don't really know. I think the political pressure would have been amped up, so it might have been a shorter period of time between the incident and the court appearance today. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that's just the world we live in, where you know this is something that is simply more high visible, you know, in the current political structure, where you have a white deputy that's, you know, throwing around a black kid, you know, whether or not the same disposition, you know, this guy was wrong and he shouldn't have done it. It's much more politically dangerous, I think. It's much more of a firecracker if it is an African-American that's the one that's bloody.
Yeah, but obviously this involves two Caucasians. Is that a reason why things took so long to percolate?
Does this even happen? 20 years ago, this is just a normal Sunday.
You know what? 20 or 30 years ago, think about it. We wouldn't have had body cam evidence.
No.
We wouldn't have had cell phone evidence. It would have been basically their word against his word, and whom are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the police officer who's undergone training in the academy and years of experience, or are you going to believe the word of one or several drunken football fans?
Well, the other thing is that I don't believe that it needs to be violent 20 years ago. I mean, if there was a drunk guy that was, you know, scuffling with an officer, you would probably have an extra 300 fans that would look around and say, why are you doing that to an officer? And look, there was a drunk kid outside of a Bills game years ago. Remember he threw a brick at the Mercy Flight?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some really stupid things that happen at Bills games, but, you know, you're taking Mercy Flight out? That's how many people does that serve? How important is that? Is that helicopter? And some idiot decides to take his frustration out? You know, so to me, I don't know if we automatically side against the police on a situation like this if this happens during the Super Bowl years.
You know what? That's a very interesting take. Maybe this is the coward's way out, and maybe that's the best way I can describe myself on this topic. But I need to see more evidence pro and more evidence con before I come to a conclusion as to whether, you know, too much force was used. And as I say, right now, based on what we think we know right now, my biggest concern is whether or not official documents or instruments were falsified or wrongly sworn to. To me, that is a bigger deal than what may or may not have happened on the ground, because I'll tell you why, because that's not a heat of the moment situation. That is an intent to mislead situation, where presumably you've had some time to put some thought into exactly what you're going to write as part of a complaint or part of a legal instrument. And that, to me, that's a real serious thing.
Well, it also shows that you're covering your CYA because
right.
You've done something wrong to begin with.
Right. Hey, our phone number on WBEN is 8. What do you want out of your cops? I mean, what it boils down to, I think, is a simple enough question. What exactly do you want out of your police officers? And if you were or are on the job as a police officer, what do you want from your civilians? And I would say that most of you are going to say what you want, first of all, is you want to get home safely to your families. That is number one. Number two, you want compliance. You would like some fair amount of respect, and you would also like some honesty. And I hate to keep on referencing the show, but I reference the show because it does give you a great inside look into how police officers, what they have to deal with on a daily basis, and the kind of morons with whom they have to deal. And, you know, honesty, a little bit of honesty can go a long way. And several times, many times, you will see on that show, which if you don't know, it's a series of police departments, which I think stupidly have allowed A&E to ride along with them every single time they do a shift. And it shows you what it is really like to be a cop. Now, some people are going to say, well, it shows you what it really is like to be a cop when you know you're on camera all the time. So it's like the old joke about Cops TV, you know, the Cops TV show. Right. Do you really think they'd be saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am? Right. You know, but after a while, it's like anything else. I mean, you forget that a camera is on you all the time, and you basically, it just basically becomes an extension of yourself. But I've seen cops a lot of times talk. I've seen people out there, David, talk themselves into being arrested by their sheer attitude, where something that was going to be a simple informational stop, you're missing a headlight, you just ran a stop sign, you were doing 7 miles over the limit in a residential area, it becomes more than just an informational stop, more than just a warning, because the person literally talks themselves into being arrested by their attitude that they direct at the police officer. And conversely, I've seen people that actually could have been arrested generally for something like weed, and they end up walking away because when the officer says, is there anything in the car I need to know about? Somebody says, yeah, you know what? There's a few buds in my center console, the marijuana, but that's all there is in the car. And lo and behold, the cop checks the center console of the car, pulls out the bag of weed, and basically says, all right, well, thank you for being honest and be on your way. Except in Texas, where even possessing a small amount of marijuana is like a felony down in Texas.
Well, yeah. I mean, the people look at it definitely different. Here's the thing, though, with those. There are these cohort studies that are done all the time, right? And a lot of cities in the United States, northeastern cities in particular, they want a 24-hour station for their own police department. That is, you see that with a lot of community organizers saying, hey, let's those body cams, we should have access to them all the time. That you could go to a cable access network and get whatever four cops are on the beat right now, which, by the way, opens up the door to a tremendous amount of civil liberties.
Oh, total invasion of privacy, because
if you're called, in someone's home and you're like looking around and, you know, it's just headache.
But you could be called to an unresponsive cancer patient, and that and that brings up the question of people's HIPAA rights.
Oh, listen, it's ridiculous. The reason why it never happens is because of civil liberties. But what I'm saying, though, is that the idea of those body cams was to basically say, if you've got nothing to hide, then show us.
Right.
And that the FOIA requests or the FOIL requests when they went through were supposed to be, you know, very transparent and very easy to get. And then there are some times when there's high profile cases and the police departments don't want to share that information for obvious reasons. The union doesn't want to give out one sided information or something that shows the police department screwing up, especially when it's involved in an officer shooting. And by the way, as we say this, the state trooper has just shot a guy in Orange County, New York.
Oh, we will try to get more details on that on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, totally unrelated to the Bills fan and the arraignment we're going to be talking about later on today with Brendan Keeney. What do you want out of your cops? It's a really open-ended question, but I think it's one that we have to ask. I mean, are you looking for big badasses? Are you looking for mamby-pamby? Are you looking for somewhere in between? And be honest, when you have had your interactions with police, have you lost your most of the interactions people have with police, by the way, are going to be situations involving vehicle and traffic stops. Most of the interactions people have with our legal system in America will be involving just an ordinary vehicle and traffic stop. That is when you have the highest exposure, the greatest risk, shall we say, or likelihood of highest exposure. What exactly do you want from your police? And if you are police, what exactly do you want out of the people you are policing in terms of cooperation, some common respect, some common courtesy, and is honesty really the best policy? I mean, if you maybe are recently retired from the job, where's Tommy C when you need him? But if you are recently retired from the job, if somebody was honest and upfront with you about what was or was not in the car, more likely to get a break, more likely to just see the stuff scattered on the ground and trampled underfoot or not.
And just a quick update, this was on I-84 in Orange County, New York. A 41-year-old man tried to enter a New York State police trooper's vehicle. And it ended poorly for him. The trooper shot and killed him.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because obviously without knowing the circumstances under which the person tried to enter the vehicle, some of the police departments around the country, like Oklahoma, for example, Oklahoma State Troopers oftentimes will actually have somebody in a vehicle and traffic stop sit down in the passenger seat in front of the police cruiser while they're doing the roadside check, which I believe is done for the officer's safety, so the officer is not standing on the side of the road.
Right.
But I've often watched that and I've thought to myself, man, this could go wrong in so many ways.
Yeah. Now this went wrong. Don't do that.
No. It is. Let's give you the phone number on WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And had a wonderful night last night hanging out with my buddies Booker and his nephew D-Money. And D-Money, U.S. Army combat veteran who also was at one point a bodyguard for Colin Powell. So kind of an interesting evening out at Templeton Landing, and lasted a lot longer than I thought it would, but good times were had all around by everybody involved. Yep, Bowerly and Bellavia. So what do you want out of your cops? 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Before we get to your telephone calls and talk more about the Erie County Sheriff's Deputy who's going to be arraigned later on this afternoon over that Buffalo Bills game incident. David, I was just looking at the NY Safe website, keeping your schools safe. The SAFE Act is designed to keep the public, including our children, safe from gun violence. The law, NY Safe, cracks down on possession of a gun on school grounds or a school bus and also supports school districts in implementing effective school safety plans. That's what it says on the official NY Safe site on the internet.
Well, DA John Flynn has just stated that Councilman Wingo will not be charged with anything for making a mistake. Now, here's the thing. I understand D.A. Flynn is he's a Democrat, and I don't know the way he looks at the world, and I'm just going to judge him by his fruits and the way he's been a district attorney. I have not seen a district attorney in Erie County that has been so uncomfortably honest with his decision-making. We go back to the situation where the guy had the blowtorch in his house. His son was killed in that fire, right, lighting a cigarette. He went into way, probably much more minutia than he had to. But at the end of it, he basically said, if this was any other person's kid, I probably would have thrown the book at this guy. But because he, you know, his actions resulted in the death of his own son, this is something that this guy is going to deal with. And this is why I went with the sentencing I went with. He's complained, when judges have made rulings. He's agreed with them. This is one of the most transparent and honest people we've seen in public life in a very long time in Erie County with D.A. Flynn.
And he's also pro-Second Amendment.
So I'm just going to say this. You know, he decides he doesn't want to go after the councilman. That's fine. I would also expect no one else that finds themselves with a loaded handgun, by accident, going to see a parent-teacher conference, school board meeting. You're at Guys and Dolls,
Oklahoma,
whatever you're going to see, and you've got a loaded gat on your, hip, concealed carry, whatever it is, and you make a mistake, I would expect in Erie County the same consideration to be held, that if you accidentally carry a handgun, no one will be charged.
Well, we will have to
but
wait.
If we carry one case where someone gets the book thrown at him with New York Safe and nobody takes the, it's a school, there are no mistakes, then we'll revisit it.
Well, I think I mentioned this yesterday, but as far as handguns are concerned, having gone to the range with a bunch of buddies a couple of weeks ago, I have discovered a new respect for the Glock 9mm. I know nobody likes 9mm anymore, but given the choice between my Smith & Wesson 9mm and the Glock 9mm, no contest. That Glock is an amazing piece of firearms machinery.
I'm just saying that Maston Council Member Wingo, if the Democrats and the left were truly honest about what guns mean to them, this whole nonsense of this is a right-wing Republican, NRA runs everything,
right,
this just shows with complete, to me, transparency and crystal clarity that this entire gun thing is nonsense. Because liberals feel the need to defend their families and their property. Conservatives feel the need to defend themselves. Wingo's not in bed with the NRA. Wingo is an African-American liberal Democrat who feels that he has a constitutional right to carry a gun, not because of his position or anything. So let's just get away from this suburban white NRA BS that we've heard, right, for all these years, and show that once and for all, the Democratic Party is 100% fraudulent when it comes to this gun debate and the seriousness that they take people having guns on school campuses. Because if you're going to allow a councilman who makes a mistake, why not allow a very competent, trained, professional teacher or police officer to be at a school to keep those kids safe? This, to me, just shows how absurd the whole thing is.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I feel about it. As long as somebody's willing to do it, and as long as somebody undergoes the proper training, both physical and the legal training to carry a firearm, and they happen to be a school teacher, I'm all about that in terms of being an effective way to cut down on the casualty numbers in a mass shooting situation.
And wouldn't you think that part of that training would be that, yes, you do have a loaded handgun on you?
Yes, that
would be. That's part of the training.
Yeah, just remembering that is kind of key to the whole carrying a firearm thing.
Tom, I'd love to get pancakes with you. Are you aware that you have an AR strapped on your back right now?
You know, David, I've had a busy day and I forgot all about that AR strapped on me. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Rambo Jim out of the box on WBEN. Rambo Jim, got a couple of things going on here, and you're on WBEN.
Yeah, I just want to say the most important thing for any law enforcement officer, local, county, the state, FBI, federal marshals, you got to keep one thing in mind, and this is the only thing that truly matters from your first day on the job to the day you retire. Am I going to get my pension? All this dispensing justice, you're God Almighty, you're going to show the scumbags that God sent you down on this earth to bring justice to the wicked. That's nonsense. That attitude is going to get you fired. You're not going to get your pension. And now that I've been retired over 9 years, when you retire, you got Easter baskets to pay for, Christmas presents, birthday presents, parties, and this, that, and the other. And you got to be able to support yourself in your retirement. You do something stupid. On numerous occasions, I was questioned about use of force. And I, fortunately, when things got going at and heavy, I kept my cool, and I was, now the police department has internal affairs. Corrections, we have what's called the IG, which is our equivalent of internal affairs. The IG investigator said, "Officer, after the inmate was down on the floor, what did you do?" I said, "Well, I got on top of him. I pinned him to the floor. I used my baton as a restraining device, and I held him to the floor to the supervisor till he or she could get there and handcuff his hands behind his back. Officer, did you strike the inmate with your baton?" "No, I did not." "Officer, did you knee him?" "No, I did not." "Did you strike him with your fist?" "No, I did not. I restrained the inmate." One thing that we were told, don't do anything that you could not go into Judge Penny's courtroom and justify. Because she thinks you're a cowboy. This is what the judge, she's going to say, "Give me your gun and your badge. Right now."
Well, the idea being that once somebody is on the ground and once they have been neutralized and they are no longer a threat to you or anybody else, there's no need for any additional physical force, correct, Amundo?
Yes, and another important point is the one thing that our union reps pounded into our heads. If you're going to get your wreck off, you better do it before the handcuffs go on. Because you touch that guy, after he's handcuffed, you're going to lose your badge, your job, your pension, and like I said, it's about the pension. I had a guy, an inmate, who went off on me verbally, and he was furious. I knew he was within a half inch of attacking me and possibly even hurting me, killing me. And he was going off on me. I stood there. I never said a word. I waited for him to stop. I said, "Are you done?" He said, "Yeah, I'm done." I said, "All right." I said, "Just go lock in." "You're not going to write me up?" I said, "Nah, I don't feel like doing any writing." I said, "I just want you to go down to your cell, secure your cell door." And I knew he did what I told him to when I heard the clicking sound.
Right.
I knew his cell was secured.
So the lesson there is what?
The point is, later on, my sergeant, she said to me, "If you had lost your cool, we'd both be doing paperwork for about the next 2.5 hours, and we'd both be talking to the IG, the Inspector General Investigator."
So what you did, Rambo Jim, by not engaging in the individual in an argument, what you did was you de-escalated the situation simply by being passive but not putting yourself at risk.
And then I told him, I said, "Go lock in, and I'm going to talk to the officer that's working this floor tonight about you taking a shower later." He said, "After what I just did to you?" I said, "Yeah, it's okay." I said, "Just go lock in." And he did what I told him to do.
So the rest of his stay, did you guys have a rapport? Did you guys, was he a little bit more cool or what?
In the yard if I was working wrecking escort on that block. He'd always walk up to me and start talking to me.
Well, obviously you handled the situation like a professional, Jim, and thank you very much for the call.
It's what I'm, the young people, young guys and girls, get your pension. Get your pension.
Well, yeah, get home safely, but make sure you get that pension. Jim, thank you very much. We're at 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
I was hoping to ask some questions about that shower.
I'm guessing that he was upset because he didn't have a chance to take a shower earlier.
I guess that's that must be a privilege where, you know, I don't know.
Let's go to Joe in Buffalo. Joe, what do you want out of your law enforcement professionals?
Well, you know, you just mentioned that Councilman Wingo. And you know what? I used to work for the school board. I haven't worked there in a few years. And I just don't understand how somebody can make a statement that we're not going to charge him, but that's not saying he's not guilty of a crime. I just don't understand that statement. And as far as I'm concerned, I think the new district attorney is a little bit more politically motivated by doing his job than most. I know a few short years ago, a guy by the name of Dwayne Ferguson, 2016, exact same thing. He was a chairman or president of Mad Dads, an activist organization that works with kids. Same thing. He goes in Emerson.
Oh, yeah.
Had his gun on. Oops, I forgot my gun. Goes to the office. The police handcuffed him, locked him up, charged him with felony gun possession, even though he had a permit, okay, and put his life through hell. He lost his position at Mad Dads and a few other things, and then they reduced everything to a misdemeanor.
But the other thing is that he got the Riverside guy in trouble, and it appears that that Riverside guy was the one that was holding the gun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he screwed over someone else, too, that was just trying to...
Wait, that's the guy who's getting punished, the principal.
Yeah, and the principal didn't...
I said this morning. I said, you know what? When you get up in the morning, you put your underwear on, you put your socks, your shoes, your pants, your shirt, your jacket, and your gun. How do you know you don't have a gun on? No, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you carry, if you have a pistol, maybe you have to carry a gun or not. But you know what? You can feel a gun. Now, this guy is arrogant, okay, because now... He knows the law, and it was raining, and he didn't want to go back outside to get his suit wet. Okay, so he, you know, nobody's going to say anything. But the problem is, you read the law. This guy broke the law. Why is he special?
Exactly.
Councilman?
Well, I also happen to know that John Flynn, even though he is a Democrat, is a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, so I'd be interested in knowing to what extent his ardent support of the Second Amendment had on his decision not to proceed any further with Wingo.
But as Joe was saying, though, this is not a Second Amendment issue. This is not a concealed carry permit issue. This is a personal responsibility issue, and if anything... Councilman Wingo is not a responsible gun owner.
Oh, I agree.
So to me, he should at least lose his ability to conceal carry.
Well, here's the other thing. He takes an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the state of New York and the United States. He violated that oath when he carried the gun inside. Okay, now people aren't saying anything about that. But that's one of the things that it separates him from the average guy. Okay, because he does have an oath of office. So I don't believe that, you know, just because he's a councilman, just because of who he is, we're not charging you, but you did commit a crime, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'm surprised that the Common Council and president of the Common Council hasn't taken a more active stance other than saying, well, you're not chairman of the Education Committee no more. He's still on the committee.
Right. He's just not the chairman of the committee.
You know, and...
Yeah. We got to go to a break, Joe, but if you can hold on, because I want to ask you a question after this about this Wingo thing, because this is pretty fascinating.
I think so, too. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We got Joe in Buffalo on the line. I wanted to ask Joe something right here. Now, here's what bothers me about this story. Concealed carry permit holder. Everyone's talking, well, you throw the book at him, let this guy go to jail, you know, the SAFE Act. Anyone else does this. Here's, Joe, here's where this bothers me the most. At the moment that you realize that you do have a gun and you are in a school, he then gives over positive control of a loaded firearm to someone else in the central office I'm sorry, man. This guy should not, not only should he not have a concealed carry permit, he shouldn't have a gun permit. This is an irresponsible gun owner, and I thought the left really cared about responsible gun ownership.
Well, let me ask you a question now. What happens when the next time it happens with some other guy, and he walks in a courtroom with Tommy Iwano or Paul Cambria? How are they going to charge this guy?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why D.A. Flynn's got to watch this here.
In other words, you know, schools are open now. It's open season. Bring your gun in. And if I carry my gun, I'll just give it to the principal to lock it up.
Or just say you forgot. It was a mistake. People make mistakes. Barry Switzer brought a loaded 45 on a Delta plane. It happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not with the TSA doesn't smile at it. Neither should schools.
No, I said that, you know, you're supposed to hold your elected officials at a higher standard. You're supposed to. Okay, so actually, he's held at a higher standard.
Yep.
For him to pull a shot like this, there should be more sanctions to him than just.
I think he should lose his pistol permit. At least for a time, I think he should lose his pistol
permanently.
Permit.
No, permanently.
I said at least for a time. It might be permanently.
Listen, he gave his gun up to someone else. If I'm at a Bills game and I got a gun on me, I don't walk up to the popcorn guy and say, would you hold on to this for me? I mean, what the hell are you doing?
The reason I say possibly is the principal or the assistant principal did say he was going to put it in a safe. Now, Is that a lifelong firearm ban? Is it not a lifelong firearm ban? I don't know. Joe, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
We need to. You think you're going to lose his pistol permit for life?
If I'm holding your handgun, and God forbid something happens to that handgun while you're not in possession of that handgun,
I'm still responsible.
Guess what, man? That's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
I see, but you know what? Joe actually asked, are you a concealed carry permit? And yes, I have a concealed carry permit, and I'm one of these people who has the concealed carry permit, and I'll be the first to tell you I very, very, very rarely carry because, as I've said a million times, carrying a firearm is a giant pain in the butt. It is an enormous responsibility, but on the practical angle, it's also a giant pain in the butt. I mean, it's a lot of weight to have back there. How anybody can forget they are armed is what absolutely baffles me, because I've carried everything from a 25 caliber Beretta to a 45 caliber Kimber and a Model 15 Smith & Wesson six-shot revolver with the 4.5-inch barrel, and I never forgot that I had it on me.
I mean, seriously, that's just ridiculous. It's like, please.
Even the 25, the little Beretta Saturday Night Special, never forgot I was there.
Am I still wearing my body armor? I didn't know.
Your tactical vest looks very good with those jeans, David.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.